talk about how they identify it. They apparently do by setting some counter. So basically they say like, okay, we have a popularity counter, which we're gonna set, and we're saying like, okay, if you access it, for example, twice, then we, if you have access it twice, then we populate it on the cache. And it's this value is variable, right?
Yeah, it sounds like Lark.
So it's kind of like Lark when the value is 2, right? It's just like Lark. But that's just one mechanism out of the other ones, right? So they have this other mechanism, which is like an eviction mechanism, and delayed eviction. And they argue that for short-term data access, or for long-term data access, this is important because... they say that you might evict something from the cache that you might evict something from the cache that is going to be reaccessed later on. It's going to be important in the long term, but right now you are not accessing it. So you should try to keep it and try to discard some other data instead.
Yeah.
So they compare this according to the to some other constant that they use. And this constant is not well defined until the end. So basically they have these three mechanisms and they talk about it here.
Yeah, unfortunately I haven't read this paper yet. I was planning to read it now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I don't know if I would finish or not. I appreciate the overview though.
I don't think you're gonna finish in the sense that this is not.
I wanted to get a brief idea of what they're talking about, and I also plan to go get coffee in the meanwhile.
I'm not sure how this is related to. I didn't read it completely. I read the part of the introduction and the abstract, and I don't know how TideWatch is related to.
So here, this seems like the main idea behind PLC cache, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. They actually have a better one.
Better one later?
Yeah.
This one?
Figure 5 in page. It doesn't say page number, but figure 5 is kind of like.
Steps of SSD cache replacement.
Right.
So, what is this in out comparison that they have here?
So in our comparison, it's kind of like the last. So they have three modules, and they go through the three of them. So the first one is the popularity filter, and it's only basically it's used when the cache is full. Otherwise, you just populate the circular cache.
Okay.
Once it's populated, then you access page B and you compare with the value that they give, which is the access count. So
the popularity filter is just a second time access goes into the cache if it's already in that.
They give a number, but in the end they show that using a value of 2, it gives a better hit rate than anything else.
And do they change the size of that filter set? Like Lark does, the size of the ghost list?
No, they don't change it. It's not adaptive. It's they just set some value according to their evaluation, and they show how they do it, but I don't think...
But they specify what value they use, right? I'm just wondering, in case we have to recreate their algorithm, is it easy or not?
I'm not sure they say what's the... They use different values for the evaluation, and I think they say that for the previous evaluation, they use 5 on 5. So here...
They use the absolute number?
Yeah.
No. It doesn't... They have to use something that's proportional.
We
study
the distribution of foreign mentioned three types of data. In the trace analysis, we set the cache size at 5% of the storage capacity, and the set of the threshold of access count and repeat count as 5, both to split the fourth quadrants. This is in the when they do the analysis of the traces.
Maybe they meant 5%. Like
No, they refer access count and repeat count threshold.
Where are you looking at this? It's in the the page with all the...
This is analysis of SSAD write reduction. It doesn't show the page.
This one, right?
Right. Though they say here, we study the distribution from three types of data. In the trace analysis, we set the cache size at 5% of the storage capacity, and the set of the access count and repeat count at 5 for those with the 4 credits.
Set the thresholds of access count and repeat count as 5. Both to split the 4 quadrants.
So, yeah.
We need to find out what access count and repeat count are.
So for me, one of the main things is that when they talk about the evaluation, they don't give like a table of the values that they use for everything. Like, it wasn't clear for me what they used then in the evaluation. So they say that what machines they use, and they don't say like the actual values. So they talk about the evaluation, but they don't say which parameters they use for that particular evaluation.
Maybe that's because it's already specified here, the access count of 5. But I guess the question is, how big is that popularity ghost list, right? Because I think one of the key ideas in Lark was to adapt the size of that ghost list.
They don't say that either.
They have to say it somewhere.
I didn't see it, but here is the specification of the popularity filter. So they should say here.
QA and QB data with high access count can pass through the popularity filter. That is QA, that's the quadrants that they are talking about.
So here is the, when they talk about the actual implementation of the popularity filters, right? But they never say the size. They say threshold subproperty distribution for ground wave in both. So it's not clear if they do it for every container. The other thing is that it's possible that they do it with the for every container, right? Because they divide all the data in containers of 4 and 8 megabytes, so probably doing this for all the
containers
is not as heavy as.
So they do it for every container.
Yes, I think so.
So if let's say the container has an access count of 5, does the whole container go into the cache or just the accessed item?
The whole container goes into the cache. The cache is a clock algorithm
that moves large amounts of data.
Yes. And they have an inner priority value,
which
can be of any... it will increase on every hit. It doesn't say that it has a maximum value, so...
If there's free space to accommodate new incoming, we write container B into SSDs directly. In this case, the following two modules, delayed eviction and in-out comparison, will not be enabled in this round. Wow, this is a complicated algorithm.
Yes, that's why it's not.
So what is delayed eviction?
So the delayed eviction is that they first find a victim. For their cache algorithm, which is decreasing the inner priority, kind of like it's the clock algorithm, right? Mm-hmm. They reduce this value until they find a container that has zero inner priority, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they compare, they check if the delay count
is zero. But the delay count, is not the value, access value, because the clock uses an access count with a reference bit, and it
no, but the delay count is another parameter different from the access count, and it's an absolute value that they actually define, they set, and they make different experiments using different delay evictions. So they have many constants. I mean, well, they have these constants.
Wow.
Yeah. So they basically reduce it to zero, and if it's not zero, then you don't make an eviction.
What is weird is that, do they motivate all of these things? I mean, why would you do all of this stuff?
So they talk about the importance. I mean, they try to motivate it according to the importance of the data, right? So they say that, for example, so they have four criteria, right? So they have so they say like these four criteria. This is my access count, writes, or something like that. This writes. Let's say number of writes. So they say that this is QA. For credits, right? So they say that.
Please leave your message for
Ricardo Solis.
Hey Ricardo, this is Raju here. I'm in a meeting with Santana, and if you would like to join, please call me on my office phone, which is 305-348-6230. Thank you. Bye.
So, they say that the data, so what they're trying to do, which is not very clear to me, is that
that's the number of accesses. The more the access,
exactly,
or less the access, and this is negative or no?
This is negative. This is
zero or no? No, it's not. You can't have negative access.
Right.
Okay.
They don't have negative.
Oh, wow. So they, I mean, what, where you draw this line is critical, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So basically, I think this is defined by their threshold.
Oh, that's five.
For examples, yeah, this
yeah.
is five.
Okay.
So this is the ads account threshold, the ads threshold, or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fresh.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So they say that they want to keep this data here is the most important one. So they define this data as highly accessed with a low number of writes.
Wouldn't it be up here?
Right.
I don't know how.
But I didn't understand that very well because they talk about this and they actually...
Oh, the whole thing.
The whole thing.
But then there is a shaded area that's darker. Why is there a darker shade? Oh.
Right, which is not very clear to me. But I thought that was the most... So basically, okay, they have four queries. And this data is the one that you want to keep in the cache, right?
Okay.
These are not important, according to them, because it doesn't fill this criteria, so they're not important enough to go in the cache.
Yeah.
So this is not important.
I mean, all of this stuff.
All of this stuff is defined as not important.
Yeah.
Not important.
Yeah.
And then they have this, which is, so this is long-term access. This is short-term popular.
Why is it? No. Short-term would be down here, right? And down here.
No, because short-term is low, this low number of accesses. So it's not popular.
Why is this short? Oh, they want to keep this long term in the cache.
Right.
Is that, oh, that's the action.
That's the action.
Okay. So they're not defining the property of the access. It's what they want to do.
Right.
Once you get to this quadrant.
Right. Right. So they want to separate the data into these quadrants and they want to take an action according to it. And their mechanism is based on this definitions, right? So they say this is short-term popularity.
It's not short-term popularity, actually. It's more about how, it seems like it's more about how they want to optimize rights to the cache. So keep, although these are frequent accesses, but they're also written heavily, and therefore you keep the data in the cache, but not for too long.
Right.
I think that's what they really mean when they say short-term importance. Or
right. See, yeah, so they basically define it this way, and they talk about it as... So they have these four, right? These four. So they want to keep this data in. This data is not going to be here in a short term because it, since it's more written, then they will have to write it back, you know?
Hey, Eric.
Hey, how are you doing?
Okay. Did you see my note about the traces earlier this week?
Yeah. So I asked Daniel to find out... you know, how important it is for us to do that first step.
Well, the first step is just collecting I know numbers
and
stuff.
And he said that the one of the servers, the backup server, was done with collecting all the I know numbers.
But it took like 2 days. It
took 2 days,
I think. I haven't even looked to see if it's done. I mean, it wasn't done Friday. It wasn't done Friday, but it probably is. It probably finished over the weekend.
Right. So I think...
but it takes a long time. And then that's dynamic information that's going to
change,
too.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess the question is, if it keeps changing, does this process keep running forever?
No.
It just does one pass, and whatever it gets,
it's just going to be a snapshot.
Right.
Now, so, if you track that changes on your inside the module, then if you start the module up after you run the whole thing...
Then we'll get everything.
Then you'll get most everything.
Yeah.
You'll minimize.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
And I think the other thing that Daniel found was there were some minor numbers that could not be accessed. It was a permission issue or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what. And we are having a discussion about how important it is. And it turns out that for some things, it is important but not critical. And for other things, it's not important at all.
Okay.
So we could potentially skip that first step if, you know.
Or can it be run after it started? There's a lot of questions there. The
can
concept,
it be running in parallel is what is what.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're just, you know, how important is it that data
be
100% accurate? Because it's never going to be 100% accurate. But
right.
It can, you know, how much wiggle can you deal with there?
So the goal is to
the other thing is in ZFS,
hmm.
The concept of an inode is not the same as the concept of an inode under the old, like ext4 file system. It's a different.
It's not.
ZFS doesn't really have inodes per se. There's a unique identifier involved, but it's. I think it links to a tree of changes and
so on. What does find do then in that case? I mean,
it returns an inode number that is being returned by the operating system.
Okay, but that's
at the VFS level, I think.
Uh-huh.
You guys buy it.
Yeah. Makes sense. And in the end, I think that's what we really care about because the module itself is tracing only at the VBMS. So we don't go into the file system at all.
Yeah.
So it might work out fine even with ZFS if there is a one-to-one correspondence.
Let me know.
I'll let you know today because I know that you're going off on break.
We could start the whole thing up on everything without that data really quickly and get going.
Yeah, and I've been having a discussion with Daniel about that. Let me talk to him, and I'll get back to you early afternoon.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Okay, so this is number of times that the page is written in the cache, according to their algorithm. Right?
Okay.
So they define this. I mean, the concept of this... pages with high number of writes, they say that these pages are churning, right?
Oh.
That they're going in and out of the cache, and they have high access count.
Oh.
And they talk about churning. I mean, they don't say churning, but they say...
No, but writes don't necessarily mean churning. Churning is more about, items going into and out of the cache. It could be reads.
Oh, right. But they say, yes. But they say that in order to reduce the amount of reading data to the SSD cache, for instance, yeah. we need to keep time as a component of the interface. So they classify the quads, right? And they say a high repeat count means that block is often evicted from the cache and then written into the cache again. So this is not the number of times you write into an LBA. It's the number of
times you're writing into
An LBA into the cache. So they're defining this as pages that they...
So these are not number of writes to the block itself. I mean,
no.
These are number of writes to the cache.
Into the cache.
Because of that block.
Right.
Wow, it's even more complicated.
Right. So they are talking... I mean, they don't talk about churning, but they say that this data comes in and out of the cache.
This is an example of how you shouldn't write a caching paper. You shouldn't make it too complicated. I mean, it's just a learning lesson for us. Because it's very hard for people. If you say number of writes on this quadrant, I would think number of writes to the block. I wouldn't think number of writes to the cache because of the block. It's one level of complication that
it's not intuitive, no.
Yeah, but this is pretty detailed, and we need to have an implementation if we can compare it. Otherwise, we might get something wrong for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So yes, I mean, writing our own implementation is not feasible.
Wi-Fi, I don't understand. Wi-Fi across all the workloads, it doesn't make any sense.
They actually proved that the hit rate is better for two.
Uh-huh.
So they make the effects of different parameters in PLC cache.
But I guess the hit rate is better for two, but the number of writes, as they call this here, may be worse for two.
Okay, so here's the popularity filter. So the latency... is for two is good, for five is the lowest.
Hmm.
I think for five is almost 10.
Yeah. This is why they use... So, oh, by the way, do they have an actual implementation? Or are they simulating this stuff?
No, I mean, they implemented it on top of it's like 10,000 lines of code.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So they implemented it in the kernel? Or?
They implemented it on top of this infrastructure. That's why it's not feasible for us to implement it. I mean, in a short term, it doesn't make any sense to implement it. So they go in the evaluation section, the first part. Where is the first part? Here. Where's the first one? Oh, this is, okay. Here. Second. Okay, here is system implement. We have implemented a proposed PLC cache and applied the open source duplication prototype system called this Death Store.
Death Store works.
And our latest algorithm is that duplication with about so they have a 10,000 lines of code.
They have their own stuff. Yeah. Death Store. And the question is this Death Store available?
It's an open source.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
Oh, so the code is available then.
The duplication prototype system is available, but they implemented the PLC cache on top of it, and they had to modify it for them to be able to. So they changed the way. So for some reason, the first deduplication, the duplication prototype accesses data sequentially,
mm-hmm.
and they. So Destory is designed as a secondary deduplication system, a backup system. So we have made some modifications to reveal it to a primary deduplication system. So as a secondary, I'm guessing that they access data sequentially.
Hmm.
And they change it to be able to access data randomly because that's the in this way we can randomly access to any file. So basically I think the problem that they had before is like they since it was a secondary one, they only could access data sequentially,
mm-hmm.
since it was a backup system, apparently.
Yeah, I don't quite understand all the implications of that very well.
Me either.
Oh, it's in FAST 15. Design trade-offs for data deduplication, performance, and backup.
Oh, they got accepted then?
I guess so.
But
recent publications using DStore. PLC cache is one of them. This is all in the DStore GitHub, all this information. So they finally published the paper on DStore.
But I don't understand. I mean, this must be an improvement over DStore that was already published?
No. This is the DStore paper.
Okay, so they referenced DStore here, but it wasn't yet published.
No, 23 might be just a GitHub entry. Can you look at 23? See what it is.
That's the
GitHub. So this website might be up much earlier before the... So there are papers that have been using DStore for a while, starting from O2. No, related papers, sorry. There was one paper, there was something about DStore. Yeah, recent papers that use DStore. DStore. The PLC cache is one of them. And... MSST14.
Is that a good conference or...
Well, it's second tier, but and the other one, the Lark, was also published in MSST, right?
Yes.
Or no?
No, it was an IEEE conference.
IEEE. MSST is also IEEE.
Mm. I don't remember.
Lark, MSST. Yeah. This is the Lark paper, isn't it? So the main storage conferences for your information are FAST, of course, and then the other more generic systems conferences like USENIX Annual Technical Conference, OSDI, SOSP. I mean, these are our main venues for publication.
Eurosys.
And USENIX, sorry, I already said USENIX Annual Tech. The second tier venues are actually... significantly less popular than FAST, and MSST is one of them.
But I mean, there's
the amount of readership for that conference is much lower by a factor of 10 usually.
Okay, that's why.
Yeah, and I mean, which is why we missed the Lark paper for such a long time,
right?
And so, this one I just luckily I found this because what happened was in one of the other reviews for a FAST paper, one of the reviewers, FAST reviewer,
mentioned
this paper as a related work. I said, oh, wow, this might be related to what we are doing as well. And that's why I sent you that. I mean, I would have missed it completely again.
Oh, okay.
Right? I mean, that's the problem with publishing at places like MSST, right?
Mm.
The readership is... And now I have to be... I guess I have to be more watchful with MSST as well.
Right.
It seems like related work is being published there. But you can see that they take papers which are not very well written.
No. And this, I mean...
Which is why people don't read them.
Right.
Hardly anyone reads them. But, I mean, you have some pretty relevant work which you might completely miss if you are not careful.
Right. The other problem is that this is, I mean... Maybe if it's not very well written, that's okay. But, I mean, for example, for me, it would be like, okay, if you have an implementation and you show your mechanism and you compare it with the
state-of-the-art
algorithms and with traces that I can directly compare with or use them to compare my work directly to yours, and you show that you're better than ARC and the other related work that also uses those significant data sets, then for me it's good enough, right? Like, okay, like, it has some issues, it's not...
Yeah.
Maybe
they didn't write it very well. Well, I mean, I would say that that's what differentiates an MSST paper from a FAST paper. You do good work. Lark is actually pretty good. You could have potentially made it to FAST with some improvements. But they chose, or they were not confident enough to do that. Or they chose not to do that. They just wanted to do the next.
They didn't even compare it to ARC in the trace analysis. And they didn't use traces
they wouldn't get in. They wouldn't get into FAST just like that.
Right.
But they could have, right? And they could have, because it's an interesting idea.
Right. They could have if they did an evaluation more extensive.
Yeah. So, I guess what I'm trying to say is that it's important to do your work. I mean, when you're spending so much time doing all this work, you want your work to be read.
Right. Yes.
And not just disappear into some, you know, oblivious location that no one gets to see. Unless they're really lucky, they won't see your paper, right?
Right.
That's why I feel like even if it takes, instead of 6 months, it takes a year. So that's, let's say, two times the amount of time that you would get a paper published at FAST versus MSST. The amount of readership is going to be more than 10 times.
Yeah,
so that's the cost-benefit analysis
for
that approach.
So the value of the paper is much.
Yeah. And also, I mean, your paper itself becomes better. Although it took twice as long, in 6 months, what you would have published would be inferior to the one that you publish in 12 months. So even from that standpoint, the quality of the work itself is better.
Right.
Not just that, your readership is improved significantly more. So for me, it's a no-brainer to do that.
Right. Yes. Yes, I agree.
Which is why I get surprised when I see, you know, stuff like Lark. It's an idea that you don't want to give up on too easily and publish it wherever, you know, whichever conference takes it.
Right. Well, maybe they...
Good ideas are not easy to come by. That's what I've realized. And then, oftentimes even good ideas, as you start executing, you realize that there are problems. So if you have something that works, don't give up on it.
Right.
Because it's very hard to get the next one.
Right. That's true. So yeah, I mean, this paper has this problem. So basically, their whole argument is based on top of that assumption.
That
idea. So basically, they want to eliminate churning. So they first use the filter, but the filter is not enough to eliminate churning, and we already know this, right? So they have this second tier, which is the delayed eviction. So it's that doesn't eliminate churning, but the long-term pages that are not popular at that time, because there are some very popular pages in that short period of time, they don't want to get rid of this small working set that is super long-term. And they show that only... from 0 to 5% in the traces are only belong to this quadrant, the QA quadrant, which is long term with high popularity. So they say that most of it is in QC and QD. They say that from 0 to 5% is the long term, and then the rest is QB. And so
that's what they have in this distribution, right?
Right. So they make the analysis before, they show it here in the first place when they show this graph.
Sometimes QB is really large, and sometimes it's pretty small.
Right, depending on the...
I don't know if that's... I mean, that's really hard when your quadrant is changing so much across workloads, and you're using constants.
Right. So that doesn't make any sense to me. And the constants are correlated, which is even worse, because when they make the analysis for different parameters, they don't combine. They don't do like, okay, we have these values for this value for this, and this value for that. Like, they don't do permutations. They do, I set up this value, and then I use this. I do the permutations of this. And that's it. So it's not a completed evaluation of the different
parameters. It's called a sensitivity analysis of the parameters.
Right.
So they don't do that.
And they don't analysis. They don't do analysis of correlation or things like that.
Yeah.
So, for example, I've seen heuristic algorithms that they do, they analyze these constants doing correlation, and they discard which ones are more important or not depending on the results. And they just say, like, okay, this is the set of values that we're using.
Okay. All right. So, write to the authors, and then we'll find, you know, based on what they say, we can decide what to do next.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. I think the
ask them for both the traces and the.
Yeah, I'll get both. I think the minimum we can do is at least make the analysis on the same traces and compare with their results, which since it's a simulation. Results shouldn't change if we use the same parameters as they do, right? If they do change, then
yeah,
it will be
right. Yep. So the other thing which I want to talk about is the paper itself.
Okay.
How's the writing coming along?
Well, I haven't made much progress since Friday.
Do you want to talk about it? Or brainstorm in any way for you to get unstuck, or you think it's just a matter of sitting down and?
I think it's a matter of sitting down. I mean, I sit down yesterday and.
You mean you sat down yesterday?
I sat down yesterday, and it was hard for me to.
And like I said, I don't know if I mentioned this, but it doesn't have to be perfect the first time. I mean, just write your ideas as you would write.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be, you know, don't worry too much about the English. We'll work on that.
Okay.
Right? We'll fix everything.
No, yes.
We'll do all that. I think the main thing is the ideas and the flow of the content.
Okay.
And everything else we can figure out. Even the flow, don't be too, I mean, I don't want you to be stuck in a spot because you're looking to make it perfect. That's the main message I want to give you, is to not. Should not get stuck because of that. Because of writing can always become better and better and better. There is no end to it.
Right. And I think the problem with me is that since I have a lot of things, I just need to start on one and just...
You mean a lot of material to put in the paper?
Right.
Okay.
Like since I have a lot of stuff to do around it...
Forget about the material. The first thing I would do if I were in your place... is to take pen and paper and write down the set of ideas you want to convey. That's
okay.
The first step, set of ideas without any ordering. Second, convert those set of ideas into a story. And a story, when you do pen on paper, is just a set of points. You say, first say this. Each of those can convert into a paragraph or two paragraphs when you eventually write this stuff.
Okay.
Right? Once you have that, okay, then you start writing, actually converting the storyline into actual writing. And then at some point you'll realize, oh, maybe if I had this, you know, if I had a reference to a graph or a table, it would be good, right? At that time you start pulling material in.
Okay.
Because you want to have, it's very difficult to write when you have, like, abundance of material. You have to have a clear mind. With very little things going on in there. And then you'll be able to create this story. That's what I would recommend.
Okay.
And then all the material you bring in, eventually you make it richer, your story. But that comes much later.
Okay. So I just have to sit down and just write everything down. Because I do have the ideas in my mind, and I wrote the pointers, and I brought it as to-dos in the paper. So I have
Oh, good.
The paper with a bunch of to-dos, at least for the introduction and motivation, which is super long. And the other part is already defined, which is talk about the cost model. And just describe it the way it's implemented and the way they got these values and the way So that's very straightforward. It's not that's not many things that I need to modify about that. And once I have this cost model defined and... this cost model can actually come to in the evaluation. I don't think.
It doesn't have to come earlier than that.
Right. So I can set it up as part of the evaluation. So after the introduction and motivation, which I already have the pointers and everything, I just need to kind of like write it down and put the tables and you know the material. I can. So the second part is the design, which. That part is kind of hard for me because so I can explain the algorithm on the pseudocode, but I don't know what else is expected when I talk about the design. For example, how is it correlated to Like, what's a good way to...
So, the one way, and this is not the only way, is to write the design as an exercise in motivating the design decisions.
Okay.
So, why did we... first of all, I mean, at some point in the motivation, you would say, okay, these are the set of things that have not been taken care of. And ideally, we should have phrases that are two or three words.
Okay.
Say, that is a problem, right?
Hmm.
Or a single phrase, you know, handling, churning, or something like that. Those are the problems. And then the design is an exercise on addressing these problems. So you motivate the design decisions based on the problems.
Okay, like in the table.
So it flows better.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, and this
so you're summarizing the design decisions and motivation in the table, right?
Right.
But the actual writing of the design itself, based on the set of problems that you use for motivation, I think that needs more substance, because you have to say, you know, you have to go from point A to point B, D, where A, B, C, D, where D is the design point, A is the problem.
Right.
Right? So that's where the story gets developed. Right? Why did you go in this direction?
Right.
I think that's the design. And in that, if you have some kind of an architecture, software architecture diagram, like, I mean, if you even take the PLC cache thing, I mean, something like simple like this.
Okay.
Right? I think that would make your life easier when you're explaining it, or something like this.
Okay.
Right? That will help you. You need to think in figures as well. Well, how do you convey
the figures is going to be... It's not going to be...
Yeah.
That complicated. Because it's going to be a figure like... I would do two things. Maybe, it's gonna be. I gotta figure out a figure, because there is a figure like Lark, basically. I have the filter, and you have the cache algorithm. And then I need to figure out a way to represent it in such a way that you go from that to just Arc.
And you said something about a state diagram at some point. I think that might be a good direction as well. I mean, I'm not saying that one or the other. Maybe both.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe I can do a state diagram and then represent Lark.
Yeah.
I can make...
And for now, I mean, I would not spend too much time drawing the figures. I would just put a placeholder there and in the caption say, this figure is going to depict this. And then you do the state diagram later on. The reason I'm saying that is that the earlier you get me stuff, the earlier I can start working with it and helping you.
Okay.
And then in the background, you can keep drawing figures and other things.
Okay, and improving it. Okay,
yeah,
it makes sense. Yes, I was reading something funny. It reminded me of the paper you told me that there is so an editable phrase is a phrase that you write. Mm-hmm. The only phrase that you cannot improve is a page. Something like a you can always improve a written page, but you cannot improve a web page.
What's going on?
No, you tell me. How's everything? He applies for the candidacy exam. It's okay? Just in case we don't see each other.
I want to make sure that he fulfills all the requirements. He does?
I think so. I haven't done it. I said no, but... just to give him a hard time. He sent me and he said, why? No, I was... well, why? We don't like you.
I was freaking out.
I know, that's why I said no.
That's a nice jacket you got there.
I was in graduation.
Oh, today's graduation, yes.
Yeah.
For all bachelor's, master's, and PhD?
For the college.
For the whole college.
For they do it by college.
How many did we graduate?
Well, the
how many PhDs did
we? Oh, we got, that I know of, three.
Three,
four. Only one attended graduation, Ortega.
Okay, yeah. Did he get the award?
Huh?
Did he get the award?
Yes.
He did?
Yes.
Wow.
You should have gone, I think.
What?
You should have been there. You weren't there.
I just have too many things to do, too many things, and before I leave for my break, I don't want to, for instance, leave this guy without work to do.
Yeah, no, keep them busy. You know, I went to the lab the other day. They were having a nice party there. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Who?
You?
Me?
Yeah.
Voila.
With the guy from the Discovery Lab, you know.
See, oh.
No. Nah, see you all.
No. That party.
Yeah, that party.
Well, that's nice. So Francisco got you. Excellent.
Yeah. So, okay. He got that done, yeah.
Very nice.
Any word on the other thing?
Oh, you mean the candidacy grading? Well, Ming Zhao is traveling, and he said he'll get it to us tomorrow. Don't worry too much about it.
No, I'm not worried.
If someone is telling you that, you know,
yes,
where is
the
grade, still, just send them to me, and I'll deal with them.
Okay, we'll do. I sometimes say that, you know, like, look, you know.
And the, I mean, the reasons are that people are, this is finals week, there's a lot of grading to do, and some people are traveling too. You can't get everything done in a week and get it done right. You don't want to mess this up.
So, the way I'm organized in the next one is, I already asked everybody if they want to take it, so I'm creating the list. So, hopefully, I get all the approvals before they come back. And by January 12th, that's the first week of class, everybody should have they're okay and their syllabus at the least for the following week.
Yeah.
That way we don't have...
And if we want to, you know, I think ideally we should do this exam 1 week earlier than when, you know, we did it, so that we have enough time for grades.
This time we pushed it out because...
Yeah. We're going to have more and more people taking the exam.
Yes. This fall we have a lot.
And we already had 9 people take the exam. It's not easy to grade all the exams so quickly.
Okay, good.
All right, good.
Sure.
So he's going to take it next semester.
Yeah, we'll make a special one for him.
Thanks.
All right, so, sorry, where were we?
I was freaking out yesterday. He was just messing with me. I was like, what is this? Why he's mad at me? He's mad at something, and then he's mad at me too.
Yeah, it's funny. So, where were we with the paper, right? We were talking about the paper. So you just had to figure out, you know, just sitting with it and getting it done. And I mean, ideally, I'm going to be traveling between 28th and the 2nd, and then I go again on the 5th, and then I come back on the 7th. So the whole time from 28th to 7th is going to be hectic for me.
Okay.
So, but I would like to do things
before that,
to move you ahead before that. So,
right.
So which means that you have to get something to me
the
next 4 or 5 days.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I'll make an absolute effort to have something, well, like,
yeah,
at least.
Like I said, it doesn't have to be, you know, perfect and great. And I'll give you feedback to make things better. And doing this in an iterative process is important, because if you go in one direction too far away, then it's very hard to backtrack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I'm definitely not perfect at it, because it's the first time I'm doing it. So you'll probably give me a lot of feedback.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll update the... I'll also update the asana, because you know the...
Yeah, please keep doing that. I think it's good. I think it's also for your own...
It's a good exercise, and asana keeps reminding me of stuff that I have to do, and things like that, which is cool.
Yeah, sounds good.